It's time for the Baseball Insider. I'm Bill Newell, along with that guy, Andy Carboni. And Andy, welcome back. Happy New Year. And I guess let's talk with something that broke right after you and I talked a week ago, is the Clay Buchholz trade to the Philadelphia Phillies. Tell me more about that. What's your take on that?
Well, Happy New Year to you, Bill, and everyone else listening to us out there. Yes, the Clay Buchholz deal came, I think, within minutes after we talked the last time. And of course, the Sox trade Buchholz to the Philadelphia Phillies for minor league prospect Josh Tobias, who was a A-ball player last year. Played at two different levels of A-ball, hit .291 with 9 home runs, 10 stolen bases. A switch hitter. Really not a top-level free agent, if you will, just kind of a spare part. More or less, the deal was that the Phillies are going to take and eat all of Buchholz's $13.5 million contract coming up for the 2017 season. So that's why he didn't get a significant value in a prospect. You basically got the money instead. This raises some red flags to me. First of which, not that I'm the biggest Clay Buchholz fan in the world, but as you have seen, which we will discuss later on in the report, there's already an injury in the Red Sox rotation. So that leaves you a little thin in your depth core of who to replace who when people get hurt. And you're bound to have a few injuries, especially in spring training and whatnot, getting toward the season starting. But more of the red flag for me, other than the pitching depth becoming a little less, is the fact that, to me, the Red Sox are trying to pinch pennies here. They're worried about $13.5 million all of a sudden to get under the luxury tax. And that certainly hasn't been a situation that Red Sox fans have had to worry about over the years. To me, that's an alarming sign. If they were going to take this $13.5 million and put it toward replacing the offense loss from David Ortiz, I'd be all for it. But just to make a move to get under the luxury tax, to me, is a major issue. And the Red Sox clearly have three major holes in their lineup right now. I don't care how many pitchers you bring in. This team's got to score runs, and you can't just assume that Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley and Benintendi and whatnot are going to keep playing at the level they played at last year. A couple guys may have a little bit of a setback, and then where are you after that point?
What are the three big holes in your estimation, Andy?
Well, there's no question the first base DH slot is a major hole, whether it's the situation if Mitch Moreland is playing first base or he's DHing that day. He is a major hole in the lineup. He's not known for his offense. He may give you 20 home runs if you're lucky. He's not going to bat any higher than about .230, .240, and he's not going to drive in more than maybe 60, 65 runs. He's not an offensive player. And granted, he did win the Gold Glove this year. He's been in the league 6-7 years. He won a Gold Glove. He's not Keith Hernandez at first base, so I don't see the big upgrade there. Obviously, third base is a major issue. You don't know what you're going to get out of Pablo Sandoval. I'm not expecting anything. And if you do get his usual type of play from Pablo, you're talking about a guy that's going to hit 15 home runs and drive in 75 to 80 and bat .280. That's all he is. That's all he ever was. Everyone gets excited about Pablo because they saw what he did for the Giants in playoff runs. That's not him as an everyday player throughout a season. So you have to temper your expectations for what you're going to see out of Pablo. And, of course, the third major hole in the lineup is the catcher. All three catchers cannot hit. Between Vasquez and Leon, Swihart, they're not going to bring any offense to the table. I mean, granted, Leon did bat over 300 last year, got off to a strong start, tailed off dramatically once August hit, and he's a lifetime .220 hitter. So that's what you're going to get. So to me, you have those holes in the lineup. I don't care how many starting pitchers you bring in. If you're going to make the move, and like I said this the last time we talked, if you're going to make the move to trade your best prospects in a deal for Chris Sale, to me, you have to continue to be all in and replace David Ortiz with a bat similar to David Ortiz. To me, that means you're going for it. This, to me, is making a move for sale because it was right before tickets went on sale in December. It was a move to get people jazzed up for the season, and they're not taking a look at the big picture.
Interesting. You know the expression, less is more? Well, that never applied more than to Pablo Sandoval, I think, huh? Less is more. Okay, there you go.
Well, we hope. We'll have to see if that's the case.
We'll see exactly whether that actually applies. Well, Andy, rip through a few more Red Sox notes for us here in the report.
Well, a couple of things that came up. Actually, the Red Sox are interested in signing a free agent third baseman, Trevor Plouffe. He spent his entire 7-year career with the Minnesota Twins. That would give the Red Sox at platoon with Sandoval at third base and Mitch Moreland at first base. He's a nice player. He's an average player, average defensively. I mean, he's a guy that could bat .250 for you, and in a good year could give you 15 to 20 home runs. But, I mean, that could add a little bit of pop from the right side, so that's something to keep an eye out for. And former Red Sox GM Mike Hazen, now the GM of the Arizona Diamondbacks, there's rumors out there that he's been investigating the Red Sox, looking for one of the three catchers that we talked about, mostly looking at Swihart and Vasquez in a potential trade down the road. So we'll have to see how that all plays out. Another member of the Red Sox heading over to the Phillies. If you remember the trade deadline, the Red Sox picked up a third-string catcher, if you will, Brian Holliday. But the Phillies grabbed him as a free agent and signed him to a minor league contract, so he can go catch bullpen sessions for Clay Buchholz out in, over in Philadelphia.
I got you. You know, Andy, why don't we rip around some of the other Major League Baseball notes for us here?
Well, one little note, it does involve the Red Sox, but part of the big Major League Baseball picture is that the Red Sox and the Yankees could be playing a game overseas in 2018. As part of the new CBA, the players have to compete in multiple international locations, according to Major League Baseball, and there's talk that the Sox and Yankees could be playing a game in London. So that would be obviously something different to see down the road. And, of course, the other big note out of Major League Baseball since the last time we talked was the Indians signing first baseman Edwin Encarnacion to a three-year, $65 million contract. Encarnacion originally got a four-year, $80 million offer from the team he had played for, the Toronto Blue Jays. He declined that, so now he takes a little less to go to Cleveland. That's a nice add for the Indians. Their DH first baseman, Mike Napoli, is a free agent right now, so that to me that's an upgrade over Napoli. Again, to me, Encarnacion would have been a perfect fit here in Boston to replace Ortiz. Ortiz was lobbying the Red Sox to get Encarnacion, but he goes to Cleveland. And the other free agent signing of somewhat note, pitcher Ivan Nova, the Pittsburgh Pirates, re-signed with the team to a three-year, $26 million contract. Still a few big bats out there free agent-wise, but I know the Red Sox aren't looking in that direction, but Jose Bautista is still available, as well as the American League home run leader, Mark Trumbo.
Okay. And former Red Sox general manager Mike Hazen is looking at some Red Sox possibilities. I guess you just mentioned that, didn't you? Yeah.
Yes, and the other Red Sox note, which I totally looked over because I was just getting all excited about the whole situation with the Buchholz trade and not having the quality offensive bat. We talked about the pitching. You bring in all the pitching you want. And, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez, case in point, he's pitching winter ball down in Venezuela, and he left his game the other day with knee discomfort. It's the same knee that he injured last year in spring training and he had trouble with all year long. So at this point, you consider yourself down one starter. He was supposed to be the fourth or fifth starter. Who knows what this knee discomfort is going to turn into? Could be something big, could be something minor. But now with Buchholz not around, you have one less guy that you could throw in the mix.
All right, Andy, I'll let you wrap up if there's anything else, but back to Buchholz just for a moment. I mean, here's a guy that I kind of agree with you, you know, but on the other hand, if there's one starter and a guy that had really a lot of potential that, you know, I could see letting go, it'd be Buchholz, you know what I'm saying, over the years.
Well, again, I don't mind the move to trade him. I just don't like the after effect of the move. Again, you can make a move, trade him, maybe get a better prospect. Why are we worrying about eating contracts? And if we are eating contracts, let's put that money toward helping the team and not just banking it. To me, that's the part that makes me nervous.
All right, Andy. Well, good talking with you, and we'll check back again soon.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next year, Bill.
All right, there you go. Andy Carbone, our baseball insider, and I'm Bill Newell here on MSO News Sports.